Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey guys, this is Ryan Chambers from Starcast Ricker Marks. Before we get into today's episode, I want to tell you about DraftKings Sportsbook. DraftKings Sportsbook is not only my favorite sportsbook, but also America's top-rated sportsbook. I love using DraftKings Sportsbook. It is easy to navigate, has plenty of instructions for new bettors, and nearly limitless ways to get in on all the action. My friends and family have been loving DraftKings Sportsbook, and I know you will too. Listen to this great offer. DraftKings Sportsbook is putting you courtside with a chance to turn $1 into $100 in site credits. That's right. Pick any basketball team that is still in contention, bet $1, and if that team wins, you will win $100 in site credits. Don't forget, DraftKings Sportsbook also offers great odds and promotions on baseball, hockey, and so much more all week long. DraftKings is safe, secure, and reliable, so you can deposit and withdraw your funds at your convenience. Download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use the promo code THPN when you sign up to turn $1 into $100 in free credits. Bet on the basketball team of your choice to win their next game, and if they do, you will claim $100 in free credits. That's promo code THPN for a limited time only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 years of age or older, New Jersey, Indiana, and Pennsylvania only, new customers only, wager paid out in site credits. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in Indiana, 1-800-9-WITH-IT. Hello and welcome to Starcast Ticker Marks, the only fan-led Dallas Stars podcast, along with Christian Chambers and Brian Chambers, and we are recording this in the almost, like, you know, really late times. Sorry, I can't think. I'm really tired. Yeah.
Somehow it's still sunny where you are.
It is really sunny where I am. I'm in Montana right now, and we're on a 3-week vacation. Going and seeing national parks. So I'm really excited to be doing this and having fun. But anyways, that's not why people are listening to us. But interesting segue. Let's talk about this real quick before we talk about the Stanley Cup playoffs. And holy crap, did Tampa Bay Lightning manhandle the Montreal Canadiens. Right now, and we haven't gotten a chance to talk about it, but unfortunately, Stephen Johns has decided to retire from the NHL and from hockey in general. And it's really unfortunate that at his age that's what he's having to do. He's only 29 years of age, and it's just been too much for him. We're going to talk about a lot of this stuff here, but it just really sucks to see him have to, you know, quit so early in his career, and I mean, he could have had another 10 years to go.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, we can talk a little bit about Stephen Johns and what's going on with him, but Stephen Johns, and what he's decided to do is that he is going to go out and he is currently rollerblading the country, and specifically more towards the northern side of the country. And he's going to go from the East Coast to the West Coast to bring awareness to mental health, which that seems to be a big thing in today's culture is talking about mental health. And unfortunately for him, that's kind of what led to his decision to retire from hockey at the age of 29.
Well, that, I mean, the way I saw it was that it was his head injuries that were causing it, like not so much like his mental health. And then after he had to stop because of his head injuries, that's when he had the mental health problems.
Is that about what you were saying? About what happened. So he's...
Yeah, because the reason he stopped was because of the headaches and because, like, he was, like from concussion injuries,
right.
He was, like,
so
not remembering things.
And Saad Yusuf has a great article that I read earlier today that talks all about it. But Stephen Johns, this whole all started back in 2018. When he was playing against the Minnesota Wild, and the pain and the post-traumatic headaches have just become more manageable with time, but that's when it all started. But really the reason why he's having to get out is because he doesn't feel like he can do it anymore. He ended up getting depression after he played his final NHL game in August 2020. And it's kind of sad because when you read the article, Johns talks about that he was asked about what he likes to do for fun, and he didn't really have an answer for it. So, I mean, that's kind of scary, right? I mean, we all have something that we like to enjoy, and he didn't have an answer for a very simple question that, you know, comes up in small talk conversations.
Because it was hockey. Right? Like, he dedicated his life to hockey, and physically he can still do it, but his brain does not allow him to do it. That sounds like such a terrifying thing, to devote your life to something and to still be able to do it, but you can't. Like, that sounds like one of the worst things that could ever happen. And yeah, I totally understand why that could cause him to take a downward spiral mental health-wise, but I'm very glad he's talking about it to people and helping people out that way, and it seems like it's been helping him as well to find some more purpose in his life, and he's decided to take that and to help
right.
other people with it, which is
really
cool.
You gotta admire him for being willing to come out and talk about stuff like this. It's not always easy to come out and say that you got something wrong with you. So kind of what's sparked this whole cross-country rollerblading thing was he watched this video, well, it was more a music video, by Mike Posner and Naughty Boy, which actually features Mike Posner walking across the country, and it's the song called Live Before I Die. And in the article it mentions that the video changed Steven's life, and he said he asked the question, what do you want to do? And all of a sudden, he had that answer. And he wanted to do something that would inspire others to raise awareness about the importance of mental health. So, and he wanted to skate again. But, you know, you can't really do that. You know, ice skate across the United States. But you can rollerblade. So, he just did. He just went. So there was no preparation into this. There was no planning. And it was just something he wanted to do. So even though John's retirement was only made public, you know, just a couple of weeks ago, he had known his career was over after a very specific moment, which was August 11th of 2020. And Chris, do you remember that incident?
Yeah, I remember reading about that. Game 6?
Game 1
against Calgary?
Against Calgary in the bubble playoffs.
Game 1 against Calgary. Yeah, he said he looked up at the clock and saw that there was 3 minutes left in the game, but he didn't remember any of the game. He didn't remember any of his shifts in that game. And he said at that moment he knew he was done, so he walked off the ice and hung up his skates.
He hasn't put them on since. Yeah.
And that was it.
That's a crazy story, isn't it? Considering, like, he's been skating for, I would guess, since he was three or four, right? So, you know,
yeah,
quarter of a century, he's been doing nothing but skating. And, you know, he just hangs him up. And this was a quote from that article that Stephen Johns, and this is what he said. He said, "I had told myself if I was ever scared to get out there, I was done. In that moment, I knew I was done." So, you know, most players, they don't realize that their career is over, you know, at a specific point in time or whatever. But for Stephen Johns, apparently that clarity came in game one against Calgary. So after that game, Johns went into the dressing room and he called his mom. And he sat there and cried. And his mom listened as he basically bowled over his feelings and how he was going. I mean, can you imagine that conversation and what must have been said? I mean, from either side of that conversation, could you put yourself in your shoes with, like, the mom or Steven? That's one conversation. No. That's one conversation I can't imagine. No. That I would be willing to be a part of. One of the reasons why Johns did this article with Saad Youssef was because he wanted people to know that even though he had like a AHL conditioning stint and he came back a couple times and everything like that, he was still struggling, and that's the main reason why he did this article, talking about why he was going to do this cross-country thing. He wanted people to know that he was still struggling with all the stuff. So, I mean, he looked fine to me. Do you remember all those conditioning stints and the games he played? He looked fine to me.
He looked great in those games. I didn't see any issues, but, yeah, crazy to see how professional these guys are. They can have such intense things happening in their lives and still play at such a high level.
Yep. So, I mean, the article talks about a couple of other instances when he thought he was going to have to retire before the incident that happened in the bubble playoffs. And he ended up not doing that. So he doesn't regret the 21 games that he was able to play. But, you know, I really wish he could have been a Dallas Star for longer, because he would have been a perfect partner for Miro Heiskanen. But, you know, sometimes bad things give birth to good and healthy things. And what this ended up happening was is that Stephen Johns asked Jeff Totes, who's known as Totesy among the Stars media. He is now a former Stars employee, and he's also a close friend of Stephen Johns. And he's actually he has actually set out with Stephen Johns to go out, and he's going to record him, video and everything, and possibly make a movie out of all the footage that they've got going on. So that's going to be really interesting. And for those of you that don't know, Totesy was the one who put together the whole playoff compilation in the bubble playoffs. He's responsible for all of that work. And he did a fantastic job with that. So I'm very, very excited to see what they come up with. So we'll have to see where this takes Stephen Johns and Totesy, because right now they're in Yellowstone. And according to this afternoon, they were on their way to Montana, so where I am currently. So I thought that was really cool. Hopefully he gets to go to Glacier National Park. Glacier National Park is just beautiful. Side note, if you never get a chance to go anywhere else other than Glacier, do it, because Glacier is the place to go. It's absolutely beautiful out here. We'll see, you know, where Stephen Johns' life turns out to go, because obviously it doesn't seem like he has a plan as to what to do, you know, after this trip that he's taken. Can you envision him doing something with the Stars? Maybe doing like a player development coach role or something like that? What could you see him doing after all this?
Yeah, I think he could, but I mean, honestly, he could do really whatever he wants. I feel like, for me personally, that would be worse to be around the thing that I want to do but can't. But I mean, that's just me. but
well, maybe he can be a broadcaster. I mean, I don't know that, but we'll have to see where it goes. So, Steven, we're cheering you on, man. If you want to join Steven in his journey, he's using the hashtag mental miles, capital M in both the words. And you can follow him on Instagram or on Twitter, and also follow Totsi on Twitter as well. And you can follow Steven John's journey, you know, across the northern United States from East Coast to West Coast. So, cool. Prayers out to him.
Very cool.
All right. You know, from a serious topic to a not as serious topic, but we've got some stuff to talk about. We've got a couple of signings to talk about, and we've also got some other stuff to talk about as well. But let's get to the signings first. So first things first, Blake Como has signed a one-year deal worth $1 million. And, yeah. Chris, how do you feel about the deal?
Very good, because if y'all watched our expansion draft podcast a while back, and the one we did with Josh, he pointed out that we're not able to protect Foxa unless we sign someone else who also meets the expansion draft requirements, which are really specific and weird. And you can see all the people who qualify for that on Cap Friendly if you're really interested. But anyway, all this means now is that we can protect Foxa, and we don't have to leave him unprotected. So now we can have Foxa protected, and we don't have to worry about any of that. So that's very cool. It's a great signing, because Como's already a leader on the team, and if we can get him for $1 million, like, of course you're going to do that, and it helps you for the expansion draft. So it's pretty much a no-brainer. Pretty much just a perfect deal.
And, you know, at first I was actually a little frustrated with the signing, to be totally honest with you, because my big thing for this offseason was that the identity of the third line needs to change for the Stars. And we're kind of seeing that. I mean, perfect example is game one in the Stanley Cup final. When you look at the fact that Blake Coleman and Barclay Goodrow are making such a big difference in the game for the Tampa Bay Lightning, I just feel like that there needs to be a bigger role for that third line, and specifically a scoring line. And when I was thinking about it, I was like, Blake Como does not fit that. And obviously they're going to want him to play on the third line with Foxa again or Dickinson. So at first I was frustrated, but I do see how it could be a very good signing for the Stars. It's definitely better than his 2.2 cap hit from his last contract. So it's, you know, less. It's almost 60% less than what it was. And he has a huge leadership role on the team and all that sort of stuff. And he proved this year that he is a very important piece of this Dallas Stars team. So I do like the signing.
Yeah, I think for the $1 million, that's definitely a Dallas Stars discount there, because I think there's no doubt in my mind that he could have gotten more somewhere else. So I think he wants to be in Dallas, and I think it protects the expansion draft again. Like we said, he's a great leader on the team, and I mean, you always need depth guys, and like he's going to be the best depth guy that we could afford for that price, in my opinion.
Well, the argument from a lot of people right now is the fact that we need to get younger. What do you say to those people who say that, oh, well, we need to, this guy is okay, we need to keep this guy?
Yeah, we are getting younger, I mean, but we don't want to have a whole line of AHL players again like last year. So you gotta find a balance there.
So the flip side of this, and the fact that he only costs $1 million, is that saves us money in the cap hits for the possible return of, first off, Alexiak, but also getting Miro Heiskanen signed to a deal that, you know, we don't have to worry about not having room for him or someone coming and giving him an offer sheet and we can't match it or something like that. So that helps us in that regard. You know, and speaking of AHL players, let's talk about the other signing that happened over the past couple of weeks. is the signing of Rhett Gardner. He signed a $1.5 million deal for 2 years. So that is literally league minimum for 2 years. And I believe the first year is a two-way deal, so he can be sent down to the AHL and have a different pay. And then the second year is actually a one-way deal, so he makes just NHL salary on that second deal. How do you feel about that deal? Good, bad, indifferent?
Yeah, I'm mostly indifferent to it. It's fine since it's league minimum, and he wasn't a bad player. He just wasn't great, so I'm kind of doesn't matter to me. Depth guy, good, decent. He can play. We saw he could play, but I don't think it'll matter as much next season as it did this season.
I actually really liked the play of Rhett Gardner this past season, especially down in the bottom six when Foxa or Dickinson was not playing with Como and Cogs. Rhett Gardner was kind of thrown in on that line a couple of times, and he filled in fairly well. So
he played like none.
Well, but
he played like 8 minutes.
I know, but I still feel like that he had a decent year, and obviously Jim Neal thought the same thing because otherwise he wouldn't have re-signed him. So
I mean, he's definitely worth league minimum at least. But yeah, I don't know.
All right, and here's the other thing about the Blake Como signing that I see a lot of people talking about. With the signing of Blake Como, does that mean that Andrew Cogliano is out the door?
Yeah. I mean, I was pretty sure he was out the door anyway.
Well, we also...
Who knows? Maybe he's going to give us a discount,
well,
too.
We also thought...
If he likes playing,
We also thought that Blake Como was possibly on his way out the door. So, and obviously that wasn't the case.
I thought there was a good chance that at least one of them was going to stay, though. But the chance of both of them staying, I don't think is very high. But, I mean, we'll see, of course. But...
Well, yeah. So, to sign
What do you think? You think that they both gonna sign?
I don't know. I honestly don't know. I hope they don't because they need to save some cap room, and I still feel like we need...
What if Cogs comes back and only asks for $1 million?
I don't know.
You taking that deal?
Maybe, maybe not. I just really feel like we need some more people on the third line that can actually score. And, I mean, part of it need because scoring was our biggest issue this year.
But if they come back at $1 million each, then maybe they become the fourth line, and you go pick up some third liners who can score.
Right, but and we already have. So, maybe we already have third liners that can score.
Maybe
Joel Kiviranta. He's a middle six guy, and I think he could be on that third line. But you know, it just gets my hope up to see. You know, there's no way Tampa is re-signing Blake Coleman. There's not a chance. Tampa Bay literally has no cap room. Actually, they're $17 million over
the
cap.
Less,
so there's no chance he's going back. But, you know, just to have a Plano kid come home and play for the Stars, that would just be a really cool thing. But that's just me. I don't know.
Yeah, I think that would be awesome.
All right. What else were we going to talk about? I already forgot.
You said there was other Stars news, but I didn't think there was. I thought that was it. I think that's it. For Stars related, at least.
Stars related? Okay.
Yeah. I ain't even going to the playoffs.
Yep. All right. So, yeah, let's get down into the playoffs, because the playoffs are actually starting to get really interesting there for a while. And the third round series, both series were excellent.
They were both very good.
I mean, both of those could have been Stanley Cup finals in and of themselves, the way that they were played. And obviously the interesting thing is Montreal moves on and not just finishes the Golden Knights, but finishes the Golden Knights in sixth. A lot of people were saying Golden Knights in five, or if the Canadiens were going to win, that it was going to take game seven, but it didn't. And so they're in the Stanley Cup final. They punched their ticket first. And then
their story looks a lot like the Stars did last season.
Very similar. Really is. And the style they play and the fact that they're relying on a hot goaltender and all that sort of stuff. So, yeah, I definitely agree with you on that. Right after Montreal punched their ticket, I believe it was on Friday night. Might have been on Thursday night. Friday or Thursday or Friday night. The very next night, Game 7 between Tampa Bay Lightning and the New York Islanders.
It was the most boring conference final Game 7 to ever happen in the existence of anything.
Actually, you could say this. You could say it was the most boring semifinal ever, because there will probably never be another semifinal
without a
ever.
Doubt.
But, yeah, it was a boring game. And the one goal that happened was the shorthanded goal. That was it. And watching that game, they out-Islanders.
That's what I'm saying. That's why the Lightning are so good.
They can do it.
Because they can play the other styles.
Yeah, they don't.
They
have all.
They have Vasilevsky. So if they want to play defense, all right, let's play defense, and they'll stop you. They will shut you out in a game seven. So
well, and I was trying to find
the team is nuts.
I was trying to find a weakness in their game, right? And just watching the way that they play, they can outscore you in an offensive shootout. They've had games 7-6, 8-5, 6-3, whatever. They've had games like that. Then they have games like this past game 7 where it was 1-0, and it was just a complete like defensive shutdown. That's the best defensive game I've ever seen a team play this entire season, including the bubble playoffs. Well, not including the bubble playoffs, including the whole regular season and then all of this postseason. So it was just absolutely fantastic to watch in that regard. And it's not fair.
Yeah, the only thing you can hope for to beat them is you have to hope that Vasilevsky is having a bad game, and then you still have to beat the rest of the Tampa Bay Lightning.
Right.
Like, it's not if they don't win this series, like, it'll be crazy. Like, there's no chance that they don't win this game. And, like, watching tonight's game, Montreal looks outclassed. Like, it looks like a different level.
Right, that is true. But here's the thing about the game ones, okay? So Montreal did lose game one in the first round and also in the second, in the third round. And then on the flip side, you know, Vegas, they got completely obliterated by Colorado in game one. So just because you lose game one does not mean that the series is already over. And we've seen that Montreal just, even though they may not play the best or whatever, they seem to find a way to win. And I was even noticing this in the first and second periods. But Tampa Bay, even though they were mostly controlling the play for the most part, they were giving opportunities to the Montreal Canadiens. The Canadiens were just not burying them.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. It looked like Vasilevsky was just stopping everything tonight, which is like what he does. He's the best goalie in the league right now, so it makes sense. But they would give him chances, and like that's the other thing. They don't have to play perfect defense because they have the best goalie. And then they could go and score four goals, and it makes it even easier for the best goalie in the league to play his best. So it's just, they're much more likely to be beaten by the Islanders last series than by the Canadiens this series, in my opinion. So
right.
I think this series is going to be far less exciting than the two conference finals we had. And I think the conference finals between the Islanders and the Lightning was the real two best teams in the league.
All right, so real quick, let's look at the two teams' road to the Stanley Cup final. So Montreal had to go through two Canadian teams and the Vegas Golden Knights. Obviously, we all know what happened in round one against the Maple Leafs. They were down 3-1, and then in game five, in game six, they won in overtime, forced a game seven, and then won 3-1 in game seven. So Toronto media just completely just, you know, evaporated from there. And then nobody gave them the chance against the Winnipeg Jets, and the Winnipeg Jets, after sweeping the Edmonton Oilers, get swept in the second round. And then obviously the semifinals against the Vegas Golden Knights, where they looked like the better team for a good chunk of those games. As for the Lightning, it took six to get rid of the Florida Panthers, and then they had to face off against Carolina, which we thought that was going to be a more interesting series than it was. The only game that Tampa Bay lost in that series was Game 3 in overtime, 3-2. And that was at Amalie Arena in Tampa Bay. That was the only game they lost. And then, obviously, the Game 7 epicness against the New York Islanders, where, you know, they had that 1-8-0 game in Game 5 where they completely obliterated New York. But, you know, give credit to the New York Islanders. They forced a Game 7 and won Game 6 in overtime.
Yeah, real quick, there's a really stark contrast to the path to the playoff for the Lightning last season and then this season. Last season, they basically, like, waltzed into the playoff, into the Stanley Cup final, and it was no big deal. They didn't play anybody. And then this season, like, the Panthers, Carolina, and the Islanders, like, those are, like, in my top five teams in the league, like, in my opinion, at the start of the Stanley Cup playoffs. And they beat all of them, and they beat the first two handily. So, that's nuts. Just shows you how good they are.
Well, and it also just goes to show you, like, the different styles they can play. Because, like, against Florida was more of an offensive juggernaut this year rather than their defense. And we could see that because their goaltending kind of struggled a little bit with Bobrovsky. And, you know, and then Carolina was kind of a more, you know, more balanced team with offense and defense. And they beat them handily. And then the only team they really had issues with was New York. And, you know, again, like I said, they out New Yorked New York. So it was just, you know, this team, the Tampa Bay Lightning, can just win in all these different fashions. And I think that's what makes them scary compared to the Montreal Canadiens. Because the Montreal Canadiens, what's their mantra? Defense.
Carey
that's how
Price
they do
is
it.
Our friend. Oh, yeah, I mean defense.
Okay, so just a couple of quick stats for you. Just the top point getters for each team. Kucherov, obviously, 18 games, 5 goals, 22 assists for 27 points. He's the top point getter for the Tampa Bay Lightning by far. He's 7 points ahead of Point. And then over on the Canadian side, Tyler Toffoli, who ended up being a steal for them with how much money he's getting paid and what he's contributing to this team. He's played 17 games, 5 goals, 9 assists for 14 points. So and that's the leading point getter for Montreal. So you can obviously see the giant difference between, you know, the points between Tyler Toffoli and Nikita Kucherov. I mean, that's almost double.
And it looked like a giant difference on the ice tonight. It was pretty shocking how not close this game was. I mean, at least there was some action with some scraps after whistles and stuff. But other than that, this looked like a regular season game between a division leader and maybe a playoff bubble contender, maybe. But that's at best. So
right,
did not look great.
So, and then here's the outstanding thing, and it just goes to tell you why NHL players will still say that Carey Price is one of the best goaltenders in the league. And it's because when the game matters the most, he's the one that steps up more than anybody. Just to throw out the stats, and they're very eerily similar between him and Vasilevsky. So Price is 12-for-5 right now, 12 wins, 5 losses. He has a .934 save percentage. That is absolutely insane and far better than what he did in the regular season, and a 2.02 goals against average. That is absolutely freaking insane. But then you look at the other side, Vasilevsky is just that much better. He goes 12-for-6, 12 wins, 6 losses, a .936 save percentage, and a .199 goals against average. So, yes, you could say that Vasilevsky is the best goaltender in the league at this point in time. And I don't think many people would argue with you about that. But if we're talking about completely clutch players who are extremely relied upon, I don't think there's anybody that's more clutch than Carey Price.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of clutch goalies, but I think Vasilevsky is the guy that he's always there. Like, there's never really a game where Vasilevsky has an off night and costs his team the game. He's always either good or outstanding. Like, I don't remember the last time there's been a bad game for him.
Right.
Whereas Carey Price has been scored on a lot this series in certain games. There's been some games where he got pummeled.
Right. Well, let's talk real quick about two things that are really outstanding between these two teams, and it's like complete opposites. And that's special teams. So for the if you compare their power play percentages, Montreal is a very respectable 20.9%. That's still very good. So that means every five power plays you get, you're going to score on one of them. And so that's not bad, right? Very good. Then you look at the freaking Tampa Bay Lightning. It's absolutely insane. 37.7% on the power play coming into this game tonight. So for every 10 power plays they're getting, they're basically scoring on four of them. And then on the flip side, the penalty kill, and this is probably one of the main reasons why Montreal is in the Stanley Cup final right now. Their penalty kill in the playoffs is a 93.5%.
Which is,
you know, 85% is considered very good. 93.5%, that's where you're like talking about like video game levels. That's stupid. And then Tampa has a respectable 83%. Like I said, 85% is still really good. So it just goes to show you like the paths for both of these teams coming up into the Stanley Cup final. So
it sounds like Tampa Bay's better.
Yeah, just slightly, but if they can take advantage of the fact that their penalty kill is that good and they can hold Tampa Bay 5-on-5, which they didn't do tonight, but if they can hold 5-on-5, then Montreal has a chance.
I mean, game one, and there's already been, like, they've already scored on a power play already, so, like, it doesn't look good. That's all I'm saying.
It doesn't. So, if you didn't know about tonight's outcome and you had no idea what was going to happen, what would you say? What's your prediction for the Stanley Cup final? Who wins?
If I didn't know about this game, I would say Lightning in six. But now that I do, I'm saying Lightning in five.
Lightning in five. Okay. So, all right. So here's my logic.
You're talking like you're about to say something stupid.
No, I'm not going to say something stupid because I'm going to go with everybody else. Okay. I'm going to say the Lightning in six still. Okay, so that's my logic. What do my emotions tell me? Canadians in seven. That's what I want.
Okay.
I want the Canadians.
That's what
to
I
win.
Want too, but okay. That's not gonna happen.
And by the way, if you're a Stars fan and you're rooting for the Tampa Bay Lightning, go find a different team to
cheer
for.
Get some help. No, you can still cheer for the Stars. Just stop.
No, they can't cheer for the Stars anymore.
Oh. Rip. I didn't know you. I didn't know you were the guy that was in charge of making those decisions.
Yes,
might be.
And you know, here's the sad part about all of this. So the two teams that the Stars hate the most right now are the St. Louis Blues, because we always seem to run into them in the playoffs and lose to them in the playoffs, and the Tampa Bay Lightning now too. Who has been a member of both of those teams very recently? The lying, not true, big rig, Patrick Maroon.
Oh yeah.
If Patrick Maroon wins the Stanley Cup this time, he is a dynasty in and of himself.
Patrick Maroon is a dynasty. He is the dynasty of 2020.
Oh my goodness. And I guess you could say that Corey Perry is a dynasty in and of himself too. He's been to the Stanley Cup final with two different teams, and he's probably gonna lose both times. So for his sake, that's the reason why I'm rooting for the Canadians. So,
I'm just rooting for the Canadians because I don't want the Lightning to win again. They suck. I hate those guys.
and they're gonna have to have some serious serious luck, like almost as bad as a flurry giveaway, and just, you know, deposited it easily into the back of the net, maybe something like that.
Multiple of those.
Well, and the scary thing is, I think this series could be over very quickly if it's going to be like this.
That's what I was saying.
the one goal that the Canadians scored this evening was, you could call it a fluke.
Yes.
I mean, he got it towards the front of the net, and it did bounce off two defenders, but, I mean, that's a lucky goal.
It was a very lucky
goal. I guess that's how you beat Vasi. That's the only way you can beat Vasi, is just luck or freak accident goals. So, they're obviously going to have to get more than just one goal against Vasilevsky in order to win. Generally, the thing is that if they hold the opposition to two goals, Carey Price can keep them in the game. That's been the general thing for this.
How do you hold the Lightning to two goals?
obviously, they didn't do
they
that
can't
tonight.
Do that.
And that wasn't
Nobody
the case.
Nobody can do that.
Yeah. Well, the Islanders did it.
And they still lost.
And they still lost, yeah. And that's a scary thing. And that's
the scary thing is you can
believe...
do that, and you can hold them to less than two goals, and you can still lose the game.
And Tampa's still going to win, yeah. Yeah,
I don't see how you
thing.
Win. It doesn't seem like you can. Like, if there's ever going to be a 99 overall team in Shell, like, it's this Lightning team that's $14 million over cap.
Yep. Agreed. Well, Chris, you got anything else to say before we mention a special announcement?
Yeah. I hate the Lightning, and I hate that their GM was so smart. And, yeah, that's it.
Hey, how about that that disc golf
shot?
Oh,
I'll talk about that.
Number one in top
y'all, 10. Y'all probably saw us on SportsCenter. But, okay, James Conrad, he's on hole 18, right? He's got to throw it in for birdie. He's out of position. He's got to throw it in from 250 feet for birdie to tie in the World Championships, which is basically the Super Bowl. So he lines it up, and he throws it in front of, like, 2,000 people. Yes, that many people watch disc golf live in person. So anyway, that's crazy. So he ties up Paul McBeth, who's basically the Tiger Woods of the Frisbee buckets. And then they go to an island hole, and James Conrad parks the island hole. All he's got is a tap in left, and Paul McBeth, Mr. Tiger Woods guy, throws a little flicky flick, and it hits the ground, and it skips into the water. Man, that was crazy. 250-foot shot. It's number one on SportsCenter. Top 10. Go look it up. It's so cool.
Go look it up. It is incredibly impressive, the shot that he made. And he got swarmed.
Yeah,
by
literally all the fans, all 2,000 people
that
were
was
on
a
the
great
hole.
Shot.
It was crazy.
Right. Everybody saw that shot. It was fantastic. So go look it up. Go do yourself a favor. Okay. Let's talk about us for a second, Chris. So we have been. And you've probably already figured this out based off of the ad that you heard at the beginning of the show. But we have been given a huge opportunity to join the Hockey Podcast Network. They reached out to us a couple of weeks ago, and we have graciously joined them. And we're going to have a lot of fun with this. Based off of all the opportunities that we're going to get with these guys, and some collaborations with some of the other team-oriented podcasts. They've got one for every team in the NHL, so including the Seattle Kraken. They already have one for the
Ryan,
Kraken. It's pretty
cool.
Out. And, yeah, I've already checked it out. It's actually pretty cool. And we'd love you for you guys to go and follow their Twitter page. They're at HockeyPodNet. And, of course, you can also follow us here at the same place. Follow us on Twitter at SarcasticR, also on Facebook, and all the
snapbooks,
grams, and snapbooks, and all that other stuff. So
yeah, but they're really awesome. There was a lot of payments that Ryan had to make specifically for lots of different programs and stuff and hosting things. So now we get all that taken care of, and a lot of it is because of the people listening. I know we joke about how there's not a lot of you, but there's a decent amount. There's enough for us to get to do this for free now. So thank you. We appreciate y'all for listening. And hopefully y'all will keep on listening and sharing this with your friends. That way we can keep doing it for as many seasons as the Hockey Podcast Network will have us.
Yep. And the other thing that Chris and I have also talked about is we're, especially when the next season starts getting going, we would love to have just what we, I mean, we're regular fans, but I guess we're super fans since we do a podcast. But we would love to have any fans that would love to be a part of the podcast, maybe do like a post-game review with us after a specific game or whatever. So if you're interested in something like that, I've already got a couple of people who are lined up for that. Go ahead and DM us on Twitter, and we'll get a specific game set up for y'all once we get the schedule released for the NHL. And yeah, we'll go from there. We're really excited for this opportunity, guys. So, and we want to give back to you guys because y'all have given us a lot. So thank you very much once again for listening. And Chris, you want the last word?
Go Habs.
Go Habs. Good night, guys. We'll catch you guys on the flip side.